Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Economics Report and American Mosaic, coming up after As It Is.
Hello once again, and welcome. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. It's time to learn and improve your American English, and learn about the world at the same time. Today, politics and energy mix. First, we will hear how Russia is increasing the price of natural gas in Ukraine. Can the United States come to the rescue? Then, the United Nations says the world must act faster to keep climate change from doing more harm. As It is on the air from VOA. Russia continues to increase the price of natural gas it sells to Ukraine. This has caused some countries to ask if natural gas from the U.S. could help Europe reduce or even end its dependence on Russia for energy. Experts say it would be a few years before such a plan could be put into place. Jonathan Evans has been watching the story for us.
In their home near Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, Svetlana Kuleshova and Yuri Kuleshov say they are being hurt by the increasing cost of natural gas from Russia. He says, "It will directly affect our budget. We will simply stop buying all the things we are buying now, because in any case, we will be forced to pay the gas bill as we have to at least heat the house in order not to freeze. We will start looking for alternatives, of course." Many people who live in Europe have the same worries. Ukraine and six other European countries get all of their natural gas from Russia. Igor Shuvalov is Russia's first deputy prime minister. He says he is not worried about threats by those countries to buy natural gas from the United States. He says Russia can easily sell its natural gas to other countries. And he says it will be more costly for European countries to buy natural gas from the U.S.
It will force Europeans to invest in new infrastructure to buy gas from the United States and other parts of the world. You will pay for this more. It will mean that the consumers will pay more. But Russian gas will be consumed by someone else in other regions of the world.
American natural gas that flows through places like the eastern state of Maryland could help European countries, but not for a few years. At one of those terminals, a new area is being built that will turn natural gas into liquid. Then the liquid can be shipped to Europe. But it is like similar plants being built in the U.S. It will not be completed until 2017. And when it does open, the terminal in Maryland will send all its gas to India and Japan. Energy expert Paul Bledsoe is a senior fellow at the German Marshall Fund of the United States. He says other countries will provide natural gas to Europe before the U.S. does.
The first places are going to be a southern pipeline from Central Asia, from North Africa, and from their own resources. What we're talking about, though, is broadening the available resources globally for gas generally, essentially globalizing the natural gas market.
Mr. Bledsoe says the United States should move quickly on request by European countries to import natural gas from the U.S. And he says the U.S. should help Europe develop its own sources of natural gas from shale gas.
What we're really calling for is a joint U.S.-EU plan on natural gas to diversify the sources of gas for Europe, to reduce long-term prices, to cut emissions, and cut dependence on Russia. There's a tremendous opportunity here.
Steve Levine is a professor at Georgetown University in Washington and a fellow at the New America Foundation. He writes about energy for the website Quartz. He says It will be good for both Europe and the United States when Europe reduces its dependence on Russia.
The impact of putting all this gas and the signal it's sending is going to be to increase U.S. influence in the world, geopolitical influence from this natural gas.
Professor Levine says Russian President Vladimir Putin will then have to sell natural gas to China, which will demand a lower price. I'm Jonathan Evans.
A United Nations report says countries should act faster to control the effects of climate change. It says we should change from burning fossil fuels, like coal, to cleaner energy sources. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC, released the report this week after a meeting of scientists and representatives of governments. This follows the recent release of two other IPCC reports on climate change. Those say what the group believes is the reality of climate change and its effect on the environment. Christopher Cruz takes the story from there.
The answer to the climate problem could start with a huge solar project in the Mojave Desert in the western American state of California. A company called NRG Energy began operating the project in February. NRG Energy President David Crane says it will provide enough electricity for 140,000 homes. He says that is a good start.
Our generation of leadership can get the ball rolling in fighting against climate change so that the next generation, the people who are in their 20s and 30s today, can finish the job.
Rajendra Pachauri is the chairman of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. He says projects like the one in California should be put in place worldwide. He says the report shows that is one way we can reduce climate change.
If we really want to bring about a limitation of temperature increase to no more than 2 degrees Celsius, then this is the message that comes out very clearly from this report.
The report says global greenhouse gas emissions must be lessened by 40% to 70% by the middle of this century. The goal is to prevent severe effects from strong weather events in a warmer world. Nathaniel Cohane works at the Environmental Defense Fund. He leads efforts there to limit climate change. He told VOA on Skype that changes can be made that will help stop the severe effects of climate change.
There are a handful of things around energy efficiency, renewable energy, reducing deforestation, and a handful of things that the world could do, and we could help turn the corner by 2020 and get on track to reduce emissions enough to keep the climate safe.
Renewable energy sources like solar, wind, and hydropower create 8.5% of the world's energy. Nuclear power creates about 11.5%. Mr. Cohane says the report shows some countries are not making the change from fossil fuels to cleaner energy.
When you look at the stats of the data in the report, it shows, for example, that coal has been growing faster than other sources. So we need to reverse that trend, and we do need to rapidly ramp up the sources of renewable power, the share of renewable power.
The report says there will be a greater cost to public health and the environment if there continue to be delays in reducing emissions. Mr. Cohane says voters must tell their leaders that reducing climate change is important to them. He says we have the knowledge and the technology to make changes. He is hopeful about the possibility of change.
If we do get that political will and if we can push in that direction, that we have the technologies to get started on this problem, we just need everybody to pitch in.
The report says there is still time for the international community to take actions to reduce climate change caused by human activity. The UN is talking with countries about a new international agreement to reduce emissions worldwide. The agreement would take the place of the Kyoto Protocol on climate change, which ended in 2012. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Thank you for spending some time with us today. This is VOA.
The Economics Report is next, followed by American Mosaic. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Economics Report. For years, Somalia has been called a failed state. Piracy, poverty, and terrorism have been problems in the country for a long time. But recent improvements suggest that the country is taking steps toward lasting security. Somali officials say a stronger economy is extremely important to peace. Last week, Somali officials traveled to the United Arab Emirates, hoping to attract foreign investment. The event, called the Somalia Investment Summit, was held in Dubai. The goal was to present Somalia as a good place to invest. Somalia is dealing with the effects of a 20-year civil war. Foreign intervention is the main cause of increased security in the country. Over the past year, African Union troops helped drive Al-Shabaab militants from major cities, and international naval forces have sharply decreased pirate attacks. But Ali Mohammed Gedi warns that the results of these efforts could be temporary. Mr. Gedi is the former Prime Minister of Somalia's transitional federal government. He says poverty must be ended. He says poverty is the reason young people join Al-Shabaab.
If we create jobs for them, I believe that they play a role in the stabilization and the security of the country.
The chairman of the Somali Economic Forum, Hassan Dude, agrees. He says the pull of illegal activity, such as piracy, is strong when there are no jobs available. He says attracting investment to Somalia now, while security is improving, is very important.
I think what the international organizations and international community is starting to realize is that bringing troops to Somalia will not be the answer to this problem. When people have jobs and you know, better life, of course, they will be less likely to get in trouble.
Although conditions in Somalia are improving, safety threats remain. Somalia lacks a central government. Corruption is common, and the workforce is largely unskilled. These problems concern possible investors. Also, there are no secure legal safeguards for foreign investors. Hirsi Darir is chief executive officer of the Dahabshil Bank, which operates in 130 businesses in the country.
Investors are a bit afraid of actually going into situations like that, but there's a huge opportunity.
Somali officials are preparing legislation to create investment safeguards, and increased security has led to a growing number of foreign investors. Currently, the United Arab Emirates, Oman, and Yemen are the top investors in Somalia. And that is the Economics Report from VOA Learning English. Find more of our programs at learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Mario Ritter.
Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the show, we play music from Lady Antebellum. U.S. lawmakers recently honored the country group. We also hear about some very young book writers. But first, we meet a basket artist whose work was recently on display at the Smithsonian Craft Show. A major craft show in Washington, D.C., offers works by more than 120 artists. One artist admitted into the show also shares her skills with women overseas. Christopher Cruz tells us more.
Jackie Abrams is a basket artist from Brattleboro, Vermont. She began in 1975 making traditional pieces for everyday use. But today, she makes modern baskets using non-traditional materials.
One are coil baskets using a very traditional coil technique where it's stitched, and for that I use recycled fabric. I also weave other baskets with a heavy cotton paper and wire to make a form reminiscent of a woman's form.
Ms. Abrams has a series of baskets called Women Forms. She says the baskets represent women, their shared stories and layers of experience. She says the inside and outside of the objects tell different stories. Ms. Abrams says the outside shows how a woman is shaped by society and experiences. She says the inside is representative of a woman's inner strength. Jackie Abrams is one of 123 artists presenting their work at the Smithsonian Craft Show. Artists compete for a place in the show, and judges at the show award the works they think are best. It is widely considered the most important juried craft show in the country. This is Jackie Abrams' fourth year as a presenter at the Smithsonian Craft Show. But there is another part of her career she considers just as important. In 2005, Ms. Abrams began working with women in Africa. She started sharing her skills and knowledge in Ghana.
While I was there, there was so much trash all over the ground and so many plastic bags, and I'm a fiber person, and I thought, we can use these fibers, we can clean these bags and use them.
And that is exactly what Jackie Abrams did. The artist taught Ghanaian women how to crochet using plastic bags they find on the ground. The women made wallets for carrying money and larger bags. The women then sold the goods to help support their families.
I think that these women now have some economic freedom from their husbands. It gives them a little power within their families that gave them a sense of worth.
Jackie Abrams would like to go back to Africa one day to help more women increase their economic power. She will also expand her series of basket sculptures and hopes to return to the Smithsonian Craft Show next year.
Reading a book can stretch the imagination, support independent thinking, and widen a person's world. Writing a book can do even more. Educators now are using book writing to help students develop creativity and a love of reading at an early age.
And then now you can add your illustration.
This is a third grade classroom at Taylor Elementary School in Arlington, Virginia. The 8 and 9 year old students are busy writing, making pictures, and talking with their teacher. And today, each student is working on writing a story.
It's fun designing your own book and being able to color it and being able to pick your topic.
Avalon Bennett is almost finished writing her book. She has named it Maleficent. It is about the evil character in the 1959 Walt Disney movie Sleeping Beauty.
We learn to like change the point of view. And so I just made it from Maleficent's point of view.
You can start off and you have a page.
Her teacher, Paul DiBenedetto, has his students create between 5 and 6 books throughout the school year.
It's not part of the curriculum. Writing is part of the curriculum, and you do want students to be writing, but it's a way for them to express themselves.
Creating a book begins with the children finding the ideas that interest them. Then they write the first version. After that, they edit their work, which means to make corrections and changes. In the process, he says, students learn to think like real writers.
They start asking the question about it, whether it's going along with the topic sentence. Do I have enough details once they get to the concluding sentence or the ending of a story? Ooh, does that go along with my story? Once the editing process is done, then they go to their final copy, which is on the computer. We try to get them on the computer so they're using the technology.
And Benham, we got your story.
Holly Karapetkova writes children's books and teaches literature at Marymount University in Arlington. She says she is happy that her 8-year-old son, KJ, and his classmates are writing books at school.
I think creating books sends them back to books. It encourages them to read more, both the books that they're creating and other books.
Creating books is one of her favorite activities at home with KJ and his 3-year-old sister, Kalina.
We have made books about animals, about weather, a lot of books about letters and numbers to reinforce skills. One of our favorite kinds of books to make is an alphabet book, just with a simple letter, and then pictures, either pictures that we print out from our real photos or pictures that the children draw to match those letters.
She says the way to keep children interested in creating books is to give them freedom of choice.
Kalina has been wanting to cook with me lately and make things in the kitchen, and I asked her, what do you want to make a book about? She said, I want to make a cookbook. So we made a cookbook.
KJ is into something else.
I'm working on a joke book and a comic book.
He has written more than 12 books on different subjects.
It's just fun to see all the different types of homemade books you can make. All the books that I create have like different textures, like made out of different things. Like there's a bath book that we've made. You make it out of plastic baggies.
His mother hopes the skills he and Kalina are developing, writing, reading, thinking, imagining, will help them succeed in the 21st century job market.
Who knows what kind of skills they're even going to need? The technology is changing so quickly. But I know they're going to need to know how to think.
Gotta go, Buffalo.
Adios, hippos.
And that starts early, by making writing and reading an everyday fun activity. The Grammy Awards are famous all over the world. But you probably have not heard of the Grammys on the Hill. The country group Lady Antebellum was recently honored at the event in Washington, D.C. Marcia James tells us about it.
Grammys on the Hill takes place every year. The Hill is a shorter name for Capitol Hill, where U.S. lawmakers work. Grammys on the Hill unites lawmakers and music makers to raise money for music education programs across the country.
I run from hate. I run from prejudice, I run from pessimists, but I run too late.
I run my life, or is it running me, run from my past? I run too fast, or too slow it seems.
Lady Antebellum has sold more than 11 million albums worldwide. Lady A has also won 7 Grammy Awards. But that is not why the country group was honored at Grammys on the Hill.
This world keeps spinning faster into a new disaster. So I run to you, I run to you, baby.
Recording Academy president Neil Portnow says it is because of the group's aid work.
When we look at the artist community, we look at artists who give back. They walk the walk and not just talk the talk. They have their own foundation. They do lots of good in this country and around the world. So they're a great honoree for us.
Lady Antebellum's foundation is called Lady Aid. Band member Charles Kelly describes one way he and Hillary Scott raise money.
We've got 5 different organizations that are a part of the Lady Aid Foundation. We're actually always putting together different events. Last year we just had this little ping pong tournament at the CMA Festival. It's kind of a fun little event that raised some good money.
Lady A singer Hillary Scott notes another way they raise money for the foundation.
There's a handful of our shows this summer that there's a portion of the ticket is going to go towards it. We're really just starting to raise awareness and continue to spread the word about it. It's got a lot of growing yet to do. I mean, we have high hopes that it'll just continue to get bigger and bigger and generate more money to give to these organizations to protect and support and encourage children. That's the heart of it.
The musicians met and talked with the lawmakers before the award ceremony. And to end the event, politicians and entertainers mixed in song. Some senators and representatives joined Lady Antebellum on stage. They sang and played some music in any preparation. And Lady A had no problem with that.
Oh, that's the best way to do it.
That's the best.
That's music 101. You just got to get up there and wing it.
We're really not that far apart. Here we go. So let your heart, sweetheart, be your compass when you're lost, and you should follow it wherever it may go. When it's all said and done, you can walk instead of run. Cause no matter what, you'll never be alone.
I'm Katie Weaver. Do you have a question about American life, people, or places? Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. We might answer your question in a future show. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.